What's up, everybody? Welcome to SWAT MMA, the smoking weed and talking mixed martial arts. My name is Jared. I'm here with my friend Paul.
What up?
We're coming to you from the fight capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada, home of legal cannabis. On today's episode, we're going to be taking a look back to UFC 243, Whitaker versus Adesanya. We're going to take a look ahead to the upcoming Fight Night Tampa, headlined by Joanna versus Michelle Waterson. We are going to, unfortunately, in my opinion, talk about the WWE, which we have seen an insane rematch of sorts between, of all people, Cain Velasquez and Brock Lesnar. But before we get into all of that nonsense, let's dive into our weed of the week.
Smoke weed every day.
This week we are smoking on a couple different things. We have, as far as herb goes, some White Tahoe Cookies, which is a pretty delicious indica strain. It's a three-way cross of the White Tahoe OG and an unknown Girl Scout Cookies cut. I don't always like to smoke indicas in the middle of the day, but it's what we got for this one. So I've added extra caffeine to my fucking morning. extra caffeine. We also got a CBD distillate blueberry kush. This is made by Standard Oil, which is a new company to me, but it tastes pretty good thus far, and that's clocking in at 80% THC. What do you think of that company? You just got that. I haven't been doing the pens much, you know.
Yeah, you know, I've been doing more pens in dispensaries now, because, you know, don't want to risk any bullshit like that.
Dude, pens on the street. Street cartridges are just not safe anymore.
Yeah. Like, so, yeah, I got these. I really only got it because it was buy one, get one, and I never tried it before. And there was four flavors. I got all four.
Oh, yeah, fuck it. The prices that these are in
dispensaries. Dipped out. Here, it was $40 a piece, yeah, right. So it's got it over at Showgirls. Pretty fucking cheap.
It's pretty fruity. I think they have a lot of terpenes in here.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know how I feel about that, but it tastes pretty good.
Yeah.
I don't know, like I said, if you watch my other channel at all, you know I quit smoking vapes, like, almost completely. When somebody has one, I'll hit it from time to time, but not a street cartridge, though.
Yeah, no.
Because, you know, even if nobody's cutting that street cartridge with anything,
just the possibility.
Just the extraction process itself, you're not guaranteeing that they're getting all the fucking butane out of there. In fact, they're almost certainly not, because there's no testing being done, and it's being done in a back lab somewhere in somebody's fucking house.
Yeah.
You know, out in the backyard. So at the very minimum, you're smoking a lot more fucking hydrocarbons of butane, which is not going to be healthy, let alone like crazy things. Like, people cut that shit with vitamin E, thinking that that's safe, and that actually produces a fucking terrible chemical when it's heated up. Some other things they were cutting it, some of those cartridges with, I was reading about, actually turned to a fucking form of cyanide.
Jesus.
Yeah. So not that it's actually being cut with cyanide, but just whatever agent that they're putting into it to fucking cut it with.
Yeah.
When it's heated up, that produces a fucking cyanide vapor. Yeah.
That's intense.
Yeah, if you're going to fucking vape, get your shit from a dispensary, for God's sake. At least you know it's being tested by a lab.
Yeah,
Someone has some bit of oversight, because, you know, the FDA is not checking any of this shit.
Yeah, no.
It's not like weed, you know. If I can get some weed on the street, the worst thing you got to worry about is maybe they sprayed it with some insecticide.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's it. Which, that's not great, but that's just a risk you take as a weed smoker.
Yeah. That's what risk you take with fucking any kind of thing that gets grown. Like, same thing, produce,
you
know how
much it gets sprayed with insecticide? Insecticide, you think it comes off just because you ran it under the sink for a second?
Yeah, exactly.
So, but as far as, you know, these fucking cartridges, man. So, yeah, I haven't been smoking them, but.
I haven't either. This is the first one I've had in a while. It's pretty good.
It's not overly harsh. Like,
yeah.
Some of those ones that I was trying is shit for a minute. I tried like every brand out here in Vegas, and they were so fucking harsh, man.
Yeah. I like those, and then I like Moxie's also.
Moxie's still around?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not bad. That tastes pretty good, actually. Still got that. I don't know, that fucking taste at the end that all cartridges do, I guess.
Yeah.
But I'm going to hit this weed here. Yo, you want to talk about the fights?
Fuck yeah.
I guess it'd be a few days ago now at the point we're talking about this, but Israel Adesanya, Robert Whittaker, that fucking Australia card, man.
Yeah.
New Zealand and Australia fucking coming together.
It's a good night of fights, man. Israel looked fucking... That was a legendary performance.
Yeah, in front of what? UFC 243 was like...
The largest just live 57, crowd,
57,000
right?
people there, which quite likely produced...
Just think about that. Just think about that in the fact of, like, a football stadium. It's different when there's 57,000 people watching a football game. But think about when we're talking about a fight, it's in a little cage in the middle. So, yeah. Like, some people are just watching on the screen, but are there live. And, like, the amount of energy that was in that arena that last night was fucking... It was just a moment of all moments for Israel.
Yeah, and he dispatched of reigning champ Robert Whittaker
in ease. Yeah.
In a way no one...
No one thought he was doing that, except me. I told you that last week he was gonna take him out quick. Remember, I was like, what if he just goes in there and takes him out quick? It's possible.
Second round KO, and it really could have been at the end of that first round.
End of that first.
He dropped him right at the end of the first and didn't follow up, and then the bell rang.
Yeah. Dude, what a fucking performance, though. Because then also, think about it. Whittaker was out right there and then got saved by the bell and got up, went to the corner.
I don't know if he was out, but he was no, down.
I'm saying if Israel hits him with one more punch, they stop the fight, I think. Because he sat on his ass the way, you know what I'm saying? Like, he just goes in there, hammer fists him once or twice, it's over. And then, so think about it. He kind of knocked him out twice.
Oh, I think that's stretching it where it's not needed to be stretched. He did great, but he knocked it
down.
And
he took some big fucking shots, too.
Whittaker was, I mean, clearly eyes open, to my recollection, and ready for Israel to come down on top of him. He has, like, his arms up, ready to go.
But either way,
that's really, like...
I'm just saying he got the best of him.
Well, that's without a doubt. I mean, that first round was pretty close right up till that point. And then that sealed the round for Adesanya. Then they just came out and put him away.
Kind of an obscure title reign for Robert Whittaker overall.
It was very weird because he never defended the title because of that weird Yoel Romero fight where he missed weight. That would have been his first defense.
Yeah, and then he didn't really win the title because GSP let it go and they gave it to Robert Whittaker.
Yeah, it was a weird thing. It'll go down in the books as strange, but he's got time to bounce back. He's only 28 years old. I don't know if he's
Adesanya.
But
yeah, that's...
We could possibly be in for another long title reign here, although I hate to jump the gun, but the kid's 18-0 and dispatched the reigning champ with ease.
All inside of a year and a half.
Yeah.
The run Israel Adesanya's made in the UFC is nothing short of just legendary.
It's
like
even
I said,
better than
it's
Conor's
legendary.
Run, because Conor's run got derailed by injury.
Yeah.
And then he had to sit out for a long period of time. Adesanya just cranked it all out.
Conor took, 2 years until he was actually, like, in the scene for, like, the title
and shit?
Yeah, because
he had, like, 9 months out with an
ACL
tear.
After his second fight or first fight, right?
It was after second.
After Max Holloway,
right? Holloway fight.
Yeah. So, he was out for a year after that. So, it took him, like, 2 years. Israel literally has just took 6 fights inside a year and a half, whooped everyone's ass, came out with pretty much no damage except for one fight, and then goes into the title fight and comes out generally with no damage.
He took some shots.
But I'm saying, like,
second guess his whole, I'm going to go fight John Jones and Stipe Miocic. I think you should just worry about having a good run at 85 and see what the future holds a few years down the line.
Here's
in
my
humble opinion.
Here's my thing with John and him. Him and John are going to fight in the future. Like, it's not something that's going to happen next or even after that. I think if they fight, it's going to be like 3 or 4 fights down the road.
Adesanya would need some weight before he jumps up and fucks with
Also, let me just say this to your point about him taking shots. I don't know if John Jones has the same power in his hands as he used to. He definitely has the same power in his feet he's always had, and he's got the same technique, but I don't know if he has the same knockout power he had as he did younger earlier in his career.
Any evidence of that? You'd have to see.
He hit Santos with some huge shots. Santos has been knocked out in his career multiple times by far lesser strikers.
I don't think that means Jones necessarily lost anything. Time there's fell on that type of thing.
You can't but deny Adesanya, though. Adesanya Jones has had Jones has definitely had some
for last night's bout.
Yeah, for sure.
Jones walks around at 225.
Yeah, right? I'm not denying Jones.
Out, Adesanya was eaten all week long, unembedded.
Yeah, that's true. Like, yeah.
Like I'm not saying they won't fight in the future, but that talk should be several years down the road. I think
we'll see though, because let's say that kind of ties into this though. So now we got Paulo Costa in the picture with him with Adesanya in the now.
I think
Paulo Costa is a 205-pound fighter. So if Israel is able to go in there and do something similar to what he did last night to someone like Costa, then we can talk about him going to 205.
Yeah, no, seriously, Costa's humongous. I have no idea how he makes that weight.
In California, he's not allowed to. You can never fight in California again, basically. You can't fight there.
As a quick aside, did you see like 6 of the Bellator featherweights? Same shit.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
Everybody
that they're all big. That night.
Damn, that sucks though, because isn't the New Year's Eve event in the Forum?
I don't know. They're gonna have to figure something out because they can't obviously. I mean, it's a tournament. They're not gonna.
I wonder if they can recertify.
I don't know.
Like at a competition.
Something
maybe.
We should keep an eye on for future talk, but. Costa, I don't know how he makes it down to 85, but you're right. If he fights Paulo Costa, who's also undefeated and been an absolute beast, he didn't look that great, I thought, against Romero, but he still won.
Yeah.
He gets the W. It's hard to look good against Romero.
Romero's like running into a...
There's no shame there.
But hey, look at it this way, too. If you're Romero, how much more robbed do you feel today? Because now we're talking about a fighter you think you beat, and Robert Whittaker, and then again, you think you beat in Paulo Costa, and if Costa gets the title shot, then Yoel is going to be even more salty, because it's like, you got your title shot, and then basically you were going to get a title shot again, because if Whittaker would have lost, it would have been Yoel versus Israel, because that's everyone says is going to be the one Israel loses. A lot of people have been talking about that online. That Yoel's the worst matchup for Israel.
Well, I don't see any difference between Yoel and Costa when it comes to that. Everything they would say about Yoel, you can say about Costa.
Not necessarily, because Yoel has the explosive wrestling that I think could possibly nullify. Although we have yet to see Israel necessarily get dominated on the ground, I think Yoel has the best chance to get him in a position where he could possibly be dominated on the ground.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that, but I don't think it's going to happen now.
Or like... Yeah, I don't know. I think any dominant wrestler could possibly give Israel some issues, but that's yet to be seen, obviously, because honestly, Whittaker...
pretty fucking...
Yeah, Whittaker is an elite-level wrestler, and he didn't wrestle at all, which didn't make any sense.
Neither did Brunson.
Yeah. Actually, no, Brunson did. He stuffed him a few Brunson's takedowns, but Brunson isn't, like, someone I'd really look at as, like, world-class right now. Because he's not a great grappler at the same time. He's a good wrestler, and he's not as good once he gets people there. That's my issue. Is like I feel like if Yoel were to get Israel down, he would be able to damage him more off the top than someone like Derek Brunson. Or like maybe like I know he fights 205 now, but like even like a Chris Weidman like in his prime. You know what I mean? Like that, or just Chris Weidman now, who would stick to the fucking game plan. If Chris Weidman would stick to his fucking game plan, he'd still be champion now. In every fucking one of his fights.
Weidman?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. You don't wheel kick Rockhold, you probably win that fight.
Yep.
You don't fucking... He was winning the Yoel fight. You don't shoot an open shot and with your head down get fucking KO'd there, too. Jacare fight, you're winning the fight deep into the round. You don't trade in the fucking third. You lose that fight, too.
There's a couple critical mistakes.
It's all just like small critical mistakes he always makes. Same thing in the Musasi fight. Musasi was, he was slowing him down. Same thing. He'd trade with him in the pocket. Musasi was just a little bit faster than him. Mm-hmm. It's just like, I don't know. Chris Weidman has everything to still be in the picture for the middleweight title and is now in the picture for the 205 title. And it's like, if it just depends on where his mindset's at. Because Chris Weidman, who follows the game plan, probably can beat someone like Israel Adesanya, I feel. Because, same way, Israel Adesanya is fucking... he's just Anderson Silva 2.0, if you really think about it.
Basically.
And Chris Weidman knows the game plan how to beat that. Twice.
When do you think they're going to make this Polo Costa fight? Right away? Or
it might be more? Soon, dude. Think about it.
He seems to like to keep busy.
I think maybe January. Some time, but. I can see January. Takes two, three months off.
We still have no information on a John Jones fight.
Yeah, because there's no information on a John Jones contender yet. We need to wait till November 2nd where we get every light heavyweight title fight.
Yeah.
So that's about a month away.
So what about Robert Whittaker now? Where does he go from here?
Well, I think it's put him in a peculiar situation because he's not like a guy who's like was a long-time champion and is like late in his career. He's still only 28 years old. He's still in the mix, you right. know. He can realistically, he can pick up from here, get one or two more wins and be back in another fight with Israel on maybe even a larger stage, you know.
Do you think he ever wins against Israel?
I mean it's possible. Anything's possible when you're talking about going out there and just throwing hands, because that's really what they did last night. You know, it was technical, but it wasn't the most technical fight at the same time. You know, like...
Yeah, like, it was Israel's counterpunching that won the day, clearly.
Absolutely.
But he took some shots.
It was just counter. Like, yeah, Israel was just a little bit faster, and a little bit more crisp with the shots. Whittaker was hitting him, but, like, Israel was moving. Like, similar to what we talked about with Anderson Silva, how, you know, you hit him, but you never hit him flush. And that's right. pretty much what Israel does, too. Like, the way he moves with his strikes, he just... You never, even if you catch him, you don't catch him with his weight into that side of his.
Yeah, he was rolling with every shot that Whittaker was lunging at him with. He lunged a lot.
Yeah, for sure. But. Whittaker is throwing big fucking shots there. Yeah. It was ridiculous. He like literally from the beginning, he was just going after him. But that could be because he hadn't been in the octagon in so long. He was so antsy. He just wanted to get in there and fucking throw hands.
And like all of us, he probably realizes Israel starts slow or tends to start slow.
But he didn't that night, dude. He didn't because, I mean, Whittaker had a little bit of success early, but like at the same time, it was never something that was ever like where you thought, oh, Whittaker might go in there and knock Izzy out. You know what I'm saying? It was, but yeah. Then the shots that Israel was hitting him with were big. Every shot he was hitting him with a big shot. But like, every shot that Whittaker was throwing, it was miss, or like glancing punches, shit like that. Well, hit him a few times, though.
If you could play matchmaker, who would you match him up with?
I think the most sense going forward is going to be Costa, Adesanya, then Cannoneer, and Robert Whittaker.
Jared Cannoneer, Robert Whittaker. That's a dangerous fight if he gets slept by Cannoneer as well.
Yeah, Cannoneer is a big fucking puncher. I like his story. I think he's next in line. Behind
Costa.
Yeah.
Think he'll take a fight in the meantime? I probably would if I was him. But
yeah, I would take the Whittaker fight. Whittaker was talking about last night. He wants to fight again. Quick.
Yeah.
Which I don't know how smart that is. But then again, we're talking about a guy who has been freaking trolled by injuries his whole career.
Yeah. Well, what about the rest of that card? I mean, honestly, the rest of the card wasn't that exciting. It was a lot of local fighters. I mean, Tia Tuivasa, I was looking forward to his fight, but that was a fucking disappointment.
Yep.
Just another consecutive bad performance for him. I think that's his third or fourth loss in a row. I'm not sure, but either way, it was a bad look. He's looked worse every time he's come out. He's looked worse than he did the fight before.
Seems like grappling and submissions are his downfall.
Even worse than some other fighters in the heavyweight division. I mean, people say that about like Derek Lewis as well, but he got up to high level.
Yeah.
Tuivasa, he's not getting any traction fighting these bottom of the barrel guys.
Well, here's the thing too, is
no offense to nobody, but shit.
Even in the clinch, he's not very good. He's just good in the open, like on their feet. Other than that, he's not very good.
He should go sign with Bare Knuckle.
He should. That'd be sick.
I mean, he seems tailor-made for that type of thing,
honestly.
Think he
would get dropped by the UFC, though? I don't think
I'd seriously doubt it.
He's too big of a star, like, in the social media space.
If he loses again, though, he's running a big fucking risk. I mean...
Well, stop fucking matching him up with fucking...
fucking wrestlers?
Like, European wrestlers, dude. Like, and jiu-jitsu fighters. Like, Jesus Christ. Like, why the fuck did you put him with Bulgoy Ivanov? That was a stupid fight.
That was a stupid fight.
This fight, stupid fight.
Well, he was a lot bigger than this guy. I think they thought he'd knock him out, but jeez.
So?
There was some question as to whether this guy should even be fighting at heavyweight, but yeah, I guess he should. He
fucking well, we're talking about the same thing. Tuivasa's, like, he's a chubby dude.
It's 264 he weighed.
Yeah, but, like, you know what I mean? He's not, like, a big in stature dude, you know what I mean? And he wants to fight Justin Willis, too, who's not signed to the UFC right
he's
now.
He's gone. Yeah.
Like, fuck.
I always think of fucking...
Big Titty?
Big Titty. Every time I hear that nickname, that's so funny.
That shit's funny as fuck.
And the rest of the card was kind of, you know...
It's all right.
There was some good KOs and some good shit, but nobody really of consequence.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about real quick about... A recently announced fight on the November 2nd card. We had Kevin Lee versus Gregor Gillespie added to that.
Oh, that was a matchup.
Big fight at 155. So,
yeah, 155.
Gregor Gillespie, the undefeated national champ. He's a fucking legit motherfucker.
Yeah, and Kevin's got...
Kevin's got his hands full.
His hands full for sure. That's a mean fight
but
right there.
But Kevin Lee, who is trading with... Faraz Zahabi and GSP on a daily basis now.
Yeah, that's an interesting
move, too. What is
this
Kevin Lee
going to
look like? But also, Kevin Lee was back at 155. With how they've... I wonder how much GSP has been able to help Kevin get his weight down because GSP has been trying to get his weight down so much. So maybe he's got
some secrets.
Yeah,
he's a scrawny little dude right now. GSP.
And Dana White all of a sudden is talking about he's in on it. He's in for GSP and
Endeavor
fucking
needs some money after that IPO cancel. Shit.
They're like, God damn it.
They're like, damn it, Dana. Go ahead and make the GSP fucking fight. He's like, damn it, all right.
Or get Connor back.
Connor ain't coming
back.
Keeps
talking about Connor and GSP all of a sudden. Yeah. But yeah, back to this fight. I think Kevin Lee's got his fucking hands full.
Yeah, I don't think he wins that fight.
I think this could be Gillespie's like night, man. This could be his breakout performance.
It's a smart move by Kevin Lee to go out to TriStar, but
Gillespie's what, 13-0?
Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Lee has fallen on some tough times recently. He's what, lost 3 straight?
Yeah.
It's a tough fight to go 4 straight, possibly.
Be a good fight though.
It's
November
definitely going to be a good fight.
That's not too far away. Word.
I think Gillespie's the type of guy to give Khabib Fritz for sure. Just because of his wrestling. I want to talk about this for a second, actually. Gregor Gillespie is the model of what you need to beat Khabib. He's just too young, which I think is why he'll never fight Khabib. He'll never fight him because he'll never get enough hype. He doesn't have enough time to get what he needs to get to that fight. But I think he is the model of how to beat Khabib. In my opinion. He's a fucking savage in the grappling. And I want to cite fucking something that Chael said last week on podcast. Like, the reason someone like Kevin Lee or Gillespie or Tony Ferguson or, you know, all these college wrestlers or Justin Gaethje would give Khabib problems is because Khabib is not a good wrestler.
Khabib's a good grappler.
He's a good grappler, but he's not a good wrestler. We're talking just straight up wrestling. You know why?
Why?
Because there's no walls in wrestling.
There is not.
Khabib is awful. In the open, just open, like, on the open, in your feet, on your feet, in, like, standing toe-to-toe, he's trash.
He's not good on his feet.
He's not good on his feet.
Like, but wrestling.
Wait, did you not hear Javier Mendez?
In the open. No, no, I'm talking about wrestling.
Wrestling.
On his feet, both ways. He's not very good on his feet at all.
Well, Javier said that he's actually a world-class striker. He just says, Khabib, don't use that in a fight, Khabib. You're not allowed to strike, even though you're Floyd Mayweather level. I say, Kool-Aid.
Yeah, bullshit.
But anyways, he's not that good on the feet in the open mat, so he...
Yeah, he just, he can't wrestle. He's a good grappler. He's able to control you on the ground. He can ride you. He can put you up against the fence and put you in bad positions. But if we're talking in a straight up wrestling match, he is not a good wrestler.
Well, somebody come along and beat his ass then, for God's sake.
I'm telling you, if Gregor Gillespie could get a chance, if Justin Gaethje could get a chance, if fucking Tony Ferguson gets his shot, Khabib will be beat, for sure.
You think Khabib loses to Tony?
For sure.
I fucking hope so. We'll see. We'll fucking see.
Okay, just honestly, right now, what does Khabib have that Tony doesn't?
Ridiculous fucking chain takedown attempts? I don't know.
Yeah, but what does Tony Ferguson have that combats that? He has world-class jiu-jitsu. World-class.
We'll see. I hope so. I hope they make that fight. We still got no announcement.
Like we were talking about the other day. He's the first person to ever ground and pound from the bottom.
We'll see.
Tony Ferguson's the type of guy to beat the shit out of Khabib.
At least, you know, we talked about that GSP fight. At least Dana White is saying that after Tony gets
the shot. I
think
GSP in his prime would beat Khabib. I don't think GSP now would beat Khabib.
I think he beat him at 170 maybe. But if he goes down to 155, he's going to lose.
I'd like to see Usman fight Khabib.
At 170?
Yeah.
These guys can't go down to 55.
Because I feel like if Kamaru Usman's just a more athletic version of Khabib and a better wrestler.
We'll see. Let's hope that Tony fight gets fucking made. But I think that about closes out.
Yeah.
You know, announced fights. We didn't get a whole lot of them this week.
Yeah.
But that was a good one.
For sure.
We got a pretty good card coming up next weekend with Joanna Jędrzejczyk versus Michelle Waterson headlining that
possible title shot on the line at 115 there, yeah, for sure. Chrome Gracie making his return to the octagon for the second time. Taking on strange though, he's taking on Cub Swanson, who's coming off, I want to say, four losses in a row.
Cub has been having rough times lately.
He's been under some rough fucking
times.
Have
you heard of these guys getting kicked out of gyms for fighting Gracie?
Yeah. I've seen that. Cub Swanson he said he can't find any jiu-jitsu places to train because he's fighting a Gracie. That's crazy.
I don't even know what to fucking make of that.
Right?
Got the fucking lockdown on the jiu-jitsu gyms across America.
Fuck yeah, dude. That's crazy.
I mean, we got Gracie gyms all over here.
Yeah.
There's Gracie gyms everywhere.
Well, think about it. He also lives in Southern California, so there's probably a lot of Gracie gyms out there.
We have some good fights coming on pretty much through that whole card.
Yeah,
underneath that Brock? Or
Brock Weaver. You got Mackenzie Dern making her return.
She's making a return after having a baby.
After having a kid, yeah. Then you got Pena coming back to 155.
Louis Pena coming back to 155. Let's talk about that for a minute. This violent Bob Ross motherfucker.
Matt Frivola.
Matt Frivola.
I don't know who that is, but
I know he's 6-1.
Okay. So he's probably
happy that it's at 155.
Yep. I think Luis Pena needs to fight that one dude from the fucking Contender Series.
I don't know who that one dude is.
Remember we were watching him? He won with a flying knee. Big old skinny dude.
My God, yeah. I think Pena should consider moving to 170, but we'll see.
170, I don't know about that. He's
6'3" or some
ridiculous
thing.
He's so skinny, though. He's so skinny.
Yeah, he'd actually benefit from having some fucking muscle, don't you think?
Yeah, but some people just can't put it on, dude. There's some people whose bodies are just, like, permanently skinny.
We'll see. I'm hoping Matt Frabola kicks his ass. So there. Jesus. Sorry, there, Violent Bob Ross. But
Eric Anders coming back against Jared. I don't know. How
fuck Gerard Meerschaert.
Yeah.
Is that how you say it?
Sure.
Meerschaert. Sure.
Gerard. Anders looking Meerschaert. To get back on the back on track there. You know.
Dude,
he's
needs
a tough
to win.
Mofo.
He's a tough mofo. That's a
well,
good
let's,
fight.
Well, let's talk about the main event for a second here, though. Let's,
yeah, we'll get to the undercard. That's the main card right there. Let's talk about the main event.
So, Joanna coming off some questioning performances. You know,
yeah.
The two losses and then the win. A couple. Joanna. She had a couple wins, you know, got back in the win column. But now this is her first fight since the loss to Shevchenko, isn't it?
It is. And I'm a big Joanna Jędrzejczyk fan. And since
I wonder where
one,
her mental state is.
But she's been a little fucking flaky lately.
That's what I'm saying. I wonder where she is mentally.
I don't know.
Because I think that will really decide this fight, because we're talking about Michelle Waterson, who is on the brink of a title shot for something she's worked so hard for in the UFC, and she's really looked good as of late. And Joanna, who's looked kind of it's kind of, I don't
she
know.
She just looks formulaic lately to me.
Like she just looks like, I don't know.
Like she's really looking like she does the same fucking shit over and over again. If you can just handle her fucking offensive onslaught that doesn't vary much. We'll see. We'll see if she can right the ship. I still favor Jędrzejczyk in this.
I'm taking Waterson. I'm taking the wild card.
I think Joanna's going to pull it off.
I hope she... I want
I'm not
Michelle,
mad whoever
I want
wins.
Michelle Waterson to win, though, so she can be mom champ. You heard about that? She wants to be the first mom champ. That'd be cool.
That'd be cool.
That's her whole... I think that's like her hashtag. It's hashtag mom champ.
Dumb that. I like Michelle Waterson. How can you not like her?
Yep. She's been around since... like
long
way
time.
Back, man.
Yeah. I mean, wasn't she a former atomweight champ?
I think so.
Yeah.
In Invicta, right?
She's 108. Yeah. 108 pounds.
I'd be curious to see her fight the girl from One. What's her name? Andrea Lee?
Huh? Andrea Lee. Angela Lee.
Angela Lee?
Angela
no,
Lee.
Not Angela Lee. I don't know. One of those.
Not KGB Lee, but I.
No.
No, I know who you're talking about. Anyways. We'll see.
Yeah,
I favor Jędrzejczyk in the fight. Cub Swanson, Kron Gracie.
Gracie's gonna
fucking
quick.
Smoke him. Unfortunately,
yeah.
The fight's gonna be over lightning quick.
You think so? That quick? I think
he's
just
gonna first
beat
fucking
him down.
Round.
Think so?
Yeah, I do. I love Cub too, but Cub needs to go to like
the UFC is gonna have a hard time getting Kron Gracie fights, man.
Yeah, we'll see. I don't know. He's going to get smoked. Cub's going to get fucking smoked.
He's getting fucking...
Me. Smoked. You know who could do it better? Probably nobody. Nobody than Kron Gracie.
Yeah, nobody.
But, all right, yeah, you're
well,
right. You might have a hard time getting fucking fights after that.
Let's
who
move to the
knows?
Prelims where we got a real...
Yeah.
Real,
it's a 170 fight.
Yeah,
I'm
yeah real tough fight here. We got Nico Price versus James Vick.
Moving up to 170, finally. Another fighter I've been thinking for a long time. She
is
shouldn't have been
Nico
at 55.
Is this Nico Price moving down to 70 also?
That I'm not sure of. I thought he was...
So I want to say he fought Randy Brown at 85.
That sounds like it could be.
Either way.
He's probably undersized for 85. But either way, this is a good fight. Nico Price is a fucking madman. He's a fucking
James
savage.
Vick James has Vick. Some tough times here.
Tough times, but that weight cut should help him out, man. Lack of a weight cut, I should say.
Does it, though? Because he's another one of those guys who's he's just kind of skinny.
Yeah, he's kind of skinny because he fights in the 155, and he has to fucking watch his diet all year long, fucking cut all that fucking weight. He's people 6'1", 6'2", don't...
Stay with me here.
Stay
with me here. I'm not
pounds.
Talking shit,
That's
I promise.
Insane.
Stay with me. I'm not talking shit, I promise. But doesn't that kind of seem like a little insecure as... in your abilities as a fighter that you have to cut that much weight?
Yes. All fighters cutting ridiculous amounts of weight down to that level to try and get an advantage is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I hold the same thing for like Romero cutting down the, or Costa cutting down to 185. Like, are you kidding me?
Oh no, Romero's not that bad. Romero walks around 190.
He says. Yeah, he just looks fucking bigger than he is, maybe. But all these guys, I don't. I mean, that's the only reason they do it is to get an advantage. And I think, maybe it does show a little bit of insecurity. For
I just feel like in James Vick, especially because he doesn't have any like eye popping skills.
He's solid all the way around.
That's what I'm saying.
His chin has been suspect lately, which, as we all know,
and Nico Price likes to put one on the fucking chin all day.
He could sleep him.
I think he's going to sleep him.
I'm going to pick Vic.
Yeah, sure. Pick Vic. I'll take Nico Price.
I'm hoping James pulls it out.
Then we got a flyweight bout. We got two top five.
Flyweight.
Three versus number six. So this is a. It's a top fight for flyweight. So we got Tim Elliott, who's always fun to watch. He's a fucking psychopath.
Fucking back finally, you know, because he left. Tim Elliott was gone because they're going to ditch the division.
But they brought him back, which is awesome. They
brought him back because now they're saving.
And he's fighting. I don't want to butcher this guy's name, to be honest, but I've seen him fight multiple times, and he's a tough motherfucker.
Figueredo.
Yeah, I've seen him fight. He just
Stevenson
fought,
Figueredo. Yeah.
Who did he just beat?
Yeah, he's a good fighter.
Tough. I've
he's
seen him fight a few times.
Tim Elliott's tough as fuck, though. I'm glad he's back in the UFC. I like his style.
Yeah. Tim Elliott's a fucking psycho, though. He's just like, remember when he fought DJ and everyone was like, actually thought he was going to beat him?
Yes.
Because he was a psycho on the
Ultimate good on the show. Fighter. Yeah. He was a psycho on there.
It was so weird, though, because it was like, remember, like, DJ was just completely outworking him, but it was not outworking him, but, like, out fucking
techniquing
him.
Out techniquing him.
Yeah, and then, like, Elliott was just, like, throwing everything at him. Like,
with his weird movement. He's got a very awkward movement.
Yeah.
And then the pipe needs to be cleaned. I'll just say it.
And then we got Chito Vera, Marlon Vera, fighting Andre Yule, which that's a fucking tough one, too.
Dude, Andre Yule looked good as hell in his last fight. That kid looks tough.
Chito Vera had another had tough, almost a little scare there in that last one. Remember
he did.
Was that, that was the Diaz Pettis fight, right?
On the undercard, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
Ooh, that's a tough fight.
It's funny that I see that as the Diaz Pettis fight. Isn't that fucking DC Stipe?
Oh, it might have been.
But yeah. Yeah. Vera, though, remember he had a little bit of a scare there with that that last-minute replacement.
Yeah, that would turn out to be tougher than we thought.
Yeah, he still got out of there with the win. And then you got Yule, who's a fucking exciting fighter. So this should be fireworks. And this is a start the prelims out, which is nuts to me.
Yeah, this is a better overall card. I mean,
you know what's also nuts to me is how is Chito Vera not ranked?
I don't know. That's a little surprising.
I don't know. Actually, bantamweight is a tough fucking weight class.
If you take away the title fight, this card's better than this last pay-per-view.
Maybe.
If you remove Whitaker, Adesanya from the top, I think it definitely is.
Oh, this card? Yeah, probably. And then JJ Aldridge on there also.
Dude, she's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Who's she fighting? Lauren Mueller? Miller? Yeah. Somebody? I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't really know.
Lauren Mueller. I'm not sure who that is. But Jedi Aldrich looked good in her last fight. I thought she was going to get her ass kicked, and then she just came out and was a little machine.
Yeah.
I was took me by
this
surprise.
This is like the Dana White Contender Series card.
Yeah, because
you got like Ryan Clark, Devin Clark on here. Fucking.
Isn't that Brock kid off there as well?
Yeah, Brock. Whatever the fuck his name is. But it's all young up-and-comers. I like these kind of cards, though, sometimes, because these are where the stars are made.
Well, that's good for a fight night card, because it's just $5 with the ESPN app. But charging $50-$60 for a pay-per-view, even last night, it's a great title fight. Or not last night. But even the last pay-per-view is a great title fight. I don't know.
What is this on? ESPN Plus or ESPN?
I'm pretty certain it's ESPN Plus. But
Still, that's a good card. I like it. All right, well,
Let's talk about a little bit of WWE here, dude.
I can't believe we just said that out loud.
So on Saturday night's Hell in a Cell event, Brock Lesnar.
Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell.
Was it Hell in the Cell?
For Brock Lesnar, it was.
So Brock Lesnar's in the Hell in Brock the Cell. Lesnar is it like a cage? I don't watch this nonsense. Seen the video that we're.
Nah, he was just in the ring. I don't really know anything about it, to be honest. It's just the Hell saw in the Cell, though. That's just, I think that's
WWE, what it was. Bitches. Hell in the Cell. No offense to anybody that likes that shit. It's just not for me.
So,
As a kid, yeah.
Fucking Brock Lesnar fought for the title or whatever, and then
did he win it?
I think so.
So the script has him winning.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And then
spoiler alert, it's and fake.
Fucking out comes Rey Mysterio with Kane Velasquez.
Rey Mysterio from Spider-Man.
Spider-Man, you're stupid. Then Kane Velasquez came out and fucking double.
So wait, Jake Gyllenhaal's character from Spider-Man came out and fought Brock Lesnar. Yeah. And then Kane swooped in with his mask.
Yeah.
No. Who's Rey Mysterio? Who's that guy?
He's just like a little high flying like Mexican dude.
He's a WWE fighter. Yeah, he's got
Brock
the little
Lesnar
mask.
Fucked him up, dude. Like Brock Lesnar fucked his shoulder up or some
shit.
Oh,
all right. So Brock and hurts him in the script, and then he goes and grabs
Kane, and then Brock Lesnar's like, "What the fuck?"
I know. I saw the video, man. Brock looks all scared. He's a good actor.
He should be scared though, because Kane will fuck him up in real life too again.
I don't know. Kane's back's pretty fucked up these days in real life.
I don't give a fuck. He didn't need his back to beat Brock the first time. He's beat the shit out of him.
Well, this is WWE. What do you think they're going to do with the script? So that's it? He's out of the luchador shit that he was doing, and now he's in WWE?
Yeah, I guess he signed at the WWE.
I mean, good for
Kane. And he's also left the USADA testing pool. So.
I like to poke fun, but I mean, I get it. WWE is a big deal.
It's real money, dude.
It's real money for these guys. I'm not knocking it. I just like to mock it.
Yeah, I know you do, motherfucker.
I watched that shit.
That's
when
big
I was
money,
a
though,
because
now think about it. Now they're going to have the Kane Velasquez Brock Lesnar pay per view fight and all that shit. And they're going to generate. And then think about it, all the revenue they're going to generate from building a. Because the whole thing with all the WWE guys where you make your money is they build this whole store of merchandise for the character you are. So, like a John Cena. John Cena has like 50. Different colored shirts with all every little 6-year-old, 7-year-old kid has, but that's how you make your money because they sell all this merchandise at all the events, and they sell belts and all that shit for the kids in the crowd. So to think, not only will Kane make a lot of money, but they're gonna make more money off him too because now they're gonna be able to merchandise his name, all like. I'm imagining he's gonna wear a mask considering the last time he wore a mask, so. Then they have another mask they can start selling out, and all the kids in the crowd are going to wear masks again. And it's big business if they have any kind of sense.
They'll have like the lead up to the fight, but then they'll have Brock win it, but he'll win by some nefarious shit, like some
cheating shit, and then he'll cheat to win, someone gets DQ'd or something.
Yeah, and then so they can have the rubber match, then where Kane will win, and then
that's
Brock
the thing
will fucking
too.
Retire.
WWE is not even like that either, because WWE, even if you lose, they'll still run it back like 50 times. Like, in WWE, they've ran like so many...
They can't have Kane beat Brock right away, because he beat him in the UFC. Like, then they'll be like, oh, see? So much for that.
Or, like, they'll make, like, another guy in the match, like a triple threat or something, and that guy will win instead of them, you know? Like, some shit like that.
Oh, my God, I'm so excited. I'm definitely going to watch now.
Yeah, you are.
No.
You are.
I'm not.
Yeah, you are.
Spoiler alert.
I'm not either. Dude, you know who else is fighting in WWE?
Who?
Tyson Fury. See that shit?
No, I missed this nonsense, too.
Ah, dude, he was sitting in front
row. I mean, it's not nonsense because these guys are getting paid, especially, you know... Like Kane,
he's sitting front row, and
my head hurts.
Like the guy was like talk, whatever dude was fighting. I don't know who the guy was.
The WWE actor.
The WWE guy was like talking shit to Tyson Fury in the front row or something, and then like his match like ended up out in the fucking crowd, and he threw like Tyson Fury was standing on the thing, and they threw his opponent at Tyson Fury, and then he jumped the gate and like was trying to attack him and shit. I was like, I wonder how much they paid him to do that.
Right. Dude, wouldn't it be crazy if he showed up in the WWE and then somehow got freak injured in that? The Deontay Wilder fight was off. Sad day. Sad day in America. Why did I even say such a thing?
Yeah, what the fuck?
Let's knock on some wood there.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Jesus, Jared.
What are you doing?
The fuck? No, you know who else is back? We're going to talk about WWE. Oh, my God. Here's my one bit nugget I got. Old CM Punk is back in the WWE.
Yeah. So I'm guessing his fight career is over now.
Thank God. Try and salvage your dignity and go win some fucking fake fights, bro. You know, I didn't feel bad him getting his ass kicked the first time. I was like, well, all right. That was supposed to happen. You got your ass kicked. Mickey Gall is a legit fighter. He'd be one and done. But then he comes out and he can't even beat up that fucking reporter. Dude's a fucking reporter, which is a great thing. Be a reporter. But I'm saying you couldn't beat up a dude who's a fucking, he's a reporter who does MMA part-time.
Yeah.
I don't know how he got his fucking license. He got there like, oh, no, I had one amateur fight once. Oh, we'll license you in Nevada. Fuck it. You're fighting CM Punk? He sucks. We've seen the footage.
Hey, it was in Chicago.
It was fucking embarrassing. I was like, God damn, he got his ass kicked by this dude who doesn't even know how to fucking fight.
Yeah, and he was like showboating and shit. Remember Dana White got so mad. Mike Jackson was
showboating on CM Punk. Dana about had a fucking aneurysm.
Yeah.
Punk needs to go to the fucking WWE. Please go beat up some dude three times your size or whatever fuck he does over there.
Yeah, it's just all about, really just comes down to money, I would think.
That was embarrassing.
Well, you know what it is also? WWE needs a lot of buzz right now, and they need something new because there's a new like pro wrestling organization that the owner of the Jaguars started, and he poached a bunch of people from the WWE, and they're on TNT now. Mm. So I think that's why they're making these reaches to like big MMA guys trying to, well, not really CM Punk's an MMA guy, but you know what I mean. Like,
Jake he was Velasquez big over there. I mean, we can talk shit about him in the MMA world, but I mean, the whole reason he got everything was because he's a big deal over there, right?
Big deal in WWE. Yeah. So yeah, I don't know, man. It's cool for the fighters because think about it this way: they were able to take what they already do, and probably double or triple what they're making. I can't imagine Kane's making fucking little money like he was making in the UFC.
No. I mean, you have to be athletic, and it is hard work. I mean, I might mock it, but I'm not going to deny.
Not when you're fighting someone like Brock Lesnar, though, because Brock Lesnar is like he's supposed to be like this overwhelming figure who doesn't really have to do much to beat people. You know what I mean?
And even Brock, so
probably even working with Brock doesn't even. It's probably not even that much physically straining for someone like Cain Velasquez.
Not compared to a fight camp.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Although, what if Brock tries to hit him a few cheap times because he did get his ass beat by him? See that happening. What if they get in a real fight? You think Kane beats his ass again?
I don't.
This is all a setup.
I have no idea.
Brock told Vince McMahon, go get Kane, and I'll fight him for real.
Yeah. Oh, God.
Dude, imagine if he did that.
You know what I like better?
That's like when fucking Brock Lesnar won the UFC title and like hopped up. I was like, oh no, the idea was he was supposed to win it and then jump to Raw and beat up John Cena, but he lost to Cain Velasquez and then jumped onto Raw and beat up John Cena.
I'm glad these guys can make a cash grab or whatever, post-career money. As a viewer and a fan of the fighting game, I much prefer the Bare Knuckle Fight Club as a retirement home.
That.
You know who just signed? Fucking the axe murderer, Vanderlei Silva, signed with the BKFC.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That's sick.
That is sick. He's only 42, which is old for MMA. I don't want to see him in the UFC, but I mean, he started off, that Vale Tudo was bare knuckle fighting. He started off doing this shit back in the day.
Yeah.
He can still go do some bare knuckle, man. He'll be up at heavyweight. You know,
just saying this right now, definitely not, though. If I'm talking about longevity, I'd much rather see them become pro wrestlers than bare-knuckle fighters.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm saying that. That's why I said as a fan of the fight game, not like their personal fan. I'm excited to see Silver.
Yeah, I just feel like wrestling is just like a little kid thing. Sort of. They cater to the kids, so people in the MMA space kind of hate it.
There's enough grown men that love that shit, though.
Yeah.
I've seen it. I'm not knocking it. I'm sure plenty of our fucking listeners. I mean, what we're doing around 50,000 people listening to us. I just know
a lot
right
about
now.
It because Errol Hawani's been doing these like interviews with all the people on it.
The wrestlers.
Yeah, so I listen to Ariel's show every week. So I literally listen to it every week.
Crazy.
dude, fucking that dude from Bellator, that Jack Swagger, he showed up on the on that TNT one I was telling you about.
He's got another fight coming up.
Does he?
Yeah.
He just showed up on the pro wrestling shit, though.
Did he?
Yeah, he said he's going to do both, I think.
He's got some pretty legit skills in the MMA ring.
Maybe. We haven't really seen him against anything, but it can.
He's last coming back. Dude, it was like his first fight, though, wasn't it?
Dude, second the last fight. Dude he fought looked like Roy Nelson's little son, dude.
That didn't know how to fight. I think Roy would raise him up a bit better.
It's Roy's stepbrother.
Yeah. Yeah, Roy's dim-witted stepbrother. Oh, that's funny.
Well, I think that about wraps the show up for today.
It does. I think we're going to get back to smoking this weed. Hope you all been smoking some good weed, too. Yep. Thank everybody for tuning in. If you're new to the show, you can catch us on WBUZ 95 on radio.net and the Orange Radio app Thursday night, 6 p.m. here in Vegas. That's 9 p.m. Eastern time. You can search WBUZ 95 in either of those. You can find us on YouTube. You can get all the info where
like, at, Paul? Subscribe, comment, head over to swapme.com. Grab yourself a jacket. Winter's coming, motherfuckers. And, yeah.
See you next week, folks. Peace.
Peace.